Somebody agree by saying amen. Amen. All right. Looking at this particular teaching, we're still in this section of our series called Receiving Your Inheritance. It's part 25, and its subtopic title is called Rising to the Top. Now, there's something else I want to name that, but I'm got to wait on that a little bit more, I guess. All right. Let's read the scriptures, opening, starting in Deuteronomy 2 and verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey. Pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given to thy hand Zion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear the report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. All right, now, as we've been talking on the blessing, we've been saying that the blessing comes from this root word, bless, or barak, which means to an empowerment for success. This blessing came on Adam. God gave it to Adam, and then Adam forfeited the blessing through sin. When he sinned, he lost the blessing. And normally, you can't lose the blessing. But the reason why he lost the blessing is because he lost his life. Adam turned, was the first man born from life to death. And so now, here he had the nature of Satan in him, and now he is trying to just figure out how to feed himself. God had a plan, though, called a plan of redemption, that he was going to redeem mankind and bring him back. So he started working that plan through some of the prophets and those of patriarchs of old. And he got to this man, Abraham, and he told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, he told him to get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I'm going to show you. And he said, and I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you, and these shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. So he's saying here that God, beginning with Abraham, said that basically he was blessing Abraham. And if you look at Galatians, in Galatians chapter 3, you'll see here starting at verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Are you of faith? Then you are a child of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So you know what he's trying to do. He's trying to recover what happened in the garden. Because with the garden, the blessing, the empowerment that was on his man Adam and Eve, now, that blessing was to spread to all humanity. But once Adam forfeited the blessing, lost it, now God's got to get it back, but his word doesn't return void, that this blessing is still going to cover all families of the earth. And who's he going to do it through? A man named Abraham. So we call it the blessing of Abraham. So it's really the blessing of the Lord. But it's a blessing of Abraham, and you get the material part of that blessing through Abraham. But you get the spiritual part of being born again of that blessing through Jesus. Because here's what he says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not and to seeds as many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is who? Christ. And then verse 29 says this. He said, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. And what? Heirs, according to the promise. So as you see what's happening here, when he was speaking to Abraham, he was not only speaking to Abraham, but he was speaking to Abraham and his seed. And he said that Christ was a seed of Abraham. But people who are in Christ, they also are the seed of Abraham. So the natural and physical descendants or spiritual descendants of Abraham are the ones that get the blessing. Of course, you can't get the spiritual part of that blessing unless you come into Christ. That's why we all need to be born again. Say amen to that. All right, let's focus in on that word, the gospel, for a minute. And Jesus over in Luke chapter 4, and over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, this is Jesus now. He went into synagogue, and now he's 30 years old. And he stood, took up the Bible and opened up the place where it was written. Verse 18 in Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed a book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now this good news, this gospel. Now this good news is not about something that's going to happen. The good news of the gospel is about something that's already happened. You with me? And most of the time, this good news to the natural mind is not reasonable. Is not reasonable. Now you can see that over in 2 Kings in chapter 7. This is where the prophet Elijah, he came and spoke a word. And he spoke a word to people who were in a drought. They are poor, they had lost everything, they're in there almost eating each other's babies and so forth. It was a mess. And he said something about the famine they were in. He said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And the next verse says, "And then the Lord on whom the hand the king leaned answered the man of God, and he said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, you shall see it with your eyes, glory to God, but you shall not eat thereof." Let's take that last verse and put it up there in the Living Bible translation and just see what that last verse says, please. He said, "An officer assisting the king said to the man of God, that couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. But Elijah replied, you'll see it happen with your eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it." Lord, have mercy. All right, now what is happening here? And it's the same thing happening here in this time that happened back in Numbers chapter 13 that's happening today. And that is people believing the gospel. Now, I just said that the gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. Now, why do I say that? Because I explained to you last time that as I was teaching, I said, before Adam sinned, God talked with Adam. Adam is not flesh. Adam was a spirit. He was in flesh as he walked in the earth and had a soul. But he was spirit. So God, who's a spirit, talks to spirits. And so he talked directly to Adam, and he and Adam communicated. That's why I said words in the beginning were more, words that you'd speak were more for creation than communication. Because you didn't need them. I mean, you can hear God now without opening your mouth, can't you? And talk to him. But anyway, so as we look at this, y'all with me? Okay. As we look at this, we see here that this gospel that was given to Abraham is something that we call too good to be true. Now, how are you going to make me a father of many nations and I don't even have a kid? Matter of fact, my wife has been barren and now she's knocking at the door of 90 years old. Now help me with this. All right. The way you have to do it is you have to receive the gospel, not understand it. One more time. When I'm preaching to you the gospel, it is not being preached to your logical mind. It's being preached to your spirit. And your spirit takes it at face value. Can I say that? It takes it exactly like I preached it. See? And what happened with this 2 Kings and chapter 2, and put it up there again in the New Living Translation, what happened with that particular verse is that when he spoke and said tomorrow about this time, it's going to be plenty, it's going to be cheap, this man assisting the king tried to logically understand how God is going to do that. When you do that, you try to take God and bring him down to a level that you can figure God out. You don't need to do that. Just let God be God. Just let God be God. And then, and take him at his word, and then we're going to talk about what you do with his word. But if you look at it, he preached, over in Galatians, he preached the gospel to Abraham. See, that was the gospel he preached to him. But Abraham believed God. And to believe God means to wholly commit to. See, you don't need to understand this. Understanding comes later. Matter of fact, they used to sing a song down at that Baptist church I grew up in down there in Tuskegee, Alabama. You'll understand it better by and by. Boy, some of y'all say, hey, yeah. Amen. By and by when the morning comes. All right. So, the only reason I'm doing this is because I'm getting you ready. Because when I'm preaching what I'm preaching about the blessing, this blessing, glory to God, is so powerful that it brings you into $1 million status. Glory to God. Now, I want you to get me. Stay with me here. Because let's look at Abraham again. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12 again, verse 1. Let's go to it. All right. And he said this. He said, now the Lord has said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'm going to show you. Now, what is he trying to do there? One, he's just trying to get him off the dependencies of the world and put him on the dependency of the word. All right. So next verse. And I will make of thee a great nation. I'll bless you, make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you and curse those that curse you. Let's go to chapter, verse 2 again, and let's do it again in the, what translation? Let's go to the Amplified translation, please. That's right there. All right? In the Amplified, I'll bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished. And you shall be a blessing, dispensing goods to others. Next verse, same amplified. And I'll bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity and happiness upon you, and curse those who curses or uses insolent language toward you. In you will all the families and kindreds of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. Ooh, that's deep. All right, now, notice what's happening here. So the same way God is blessing Abraham, he's going to bless you. Am I right about it? So God, the gospel is not about something that's going to be done. The gospel is about something that has already been done. Say amen to this. So if he said that to Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of multitude. I'm going to have you to have the blessing for everybody and all families be blessed. Then he's not talking about something that's going to be done. He's talking about something that's in the mind of God. It's already done. Am I right about that? So if he's already blessed him, he's really already blessed you. Now just think about this. So he has given us a blood sworn oath, glory to God, that through our union with Jesus, everything he promised to Abraham is ours in full. Am I right about it? All right, now, if that is true, then the same level that he blessed Abraham, he's got to bless me. I didn't get many amens on that, but that's okay. All right, let's look at this. The gospel. Now, some people say, boy, that sounds too good to be true. It is true. And it is good. Let's go to another place. All right, let's go to Numbers chapter 13, please. Numbers chapter 13. I'm just getting you warmed up. Numbers chapter 13. See, I'm about to say some stuff here that you might react to, but I don't care. See, I found out that's what happened to these leaders over there in the wilderness. See, they were kind of being controlled by the people. And that's what you got now. You got some folks out here that don't care what other folk think about them. Man, you are a dangerous somebody if you got. If you got $1 billion and don't care what people think about you, you're a dangerous somebody. All right. Look what it says here. They went out and spied out a land, Numbers chapter 13. All right. And look what it says here. Let me get, they put this on a separate page and see, can I find it? 13 chapter and verse 23. And look what he says. He said, and they came into the brook Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bear it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates, and of the figs. All right, and the place that was called Eshcol because it was a cluster of grapes. All right, let's go on down to verse 27. And he said, and they told him and said, we came to the land whether thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land to the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites in the mountains, and Canaanites dwell by the Sea of Jordan. He said, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, this is the gospel now. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report in the land, of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof. And all the people of the land we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in all sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And all the congregation, verse 14, verse 1, lifted up their eyes, their voices, and cried. And the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. All right. So, Joshua and Caleb preach good news. And the good news to you is that God has reserved for you the biggest and the best of the earth. Boy, I'm preaching good now. The Bible says that Jesus bore your sins. Am I right about that? All right? But he not only bore your sins, he took your sickness. Am I right about that? He not only took your sickness, but as we read in the scripture up there, he took your poverty. All right. Now, you can be now saved, healthy, wealthy, and wise. Am I right about it? Because Jesus paid for all of those. He even paid for your fears. He paid for your fears. Look what he said in Psalm chapter 34 and verse 4. In Psalm chapter 34 and verse 4, he said that I sought the Lord and he heard me. And come on, help me. Delivered me from how many of them? All of them. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. He says, God has not given me the spirit of what? Fear. But of what? Power. Come on. Love. Come on. And a sound mind. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. And he said this. He says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, what? Abba Father. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Now I'm talking about, this is your land. This is where he's telling you, go on out there. I've given you that land. Look what he says here. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, talking about Jesus, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is a who? Devil. Does the devil have the power of death anymore? No. Jesus destroyed or paralyzed him. Look at the next verse. And delivered them who through what? Fear of death were what? All their lifetime subject to bondage. Because people fear death. Remember what Job said? The thing that I what? Greatly feared. What happened to it? It's come upon me. Now, this is important for you because this is your promised land right here that I'm holding. It's called the Bible. And these promises are yours. And he's promised you salvation. He's promised you the biggest and the best. He's promised you he'll make you famous. He promised you now that you don't have to be sick. He promised you now that you don't ever have to fear anything again. Even I ran up on this scripture here in Isaiah chapter 54. And look what it says, Isaiah 54 in verse 14. This is an interesting scripture about terror. He said, in righteousness you shall be established, and thou shalt be far from where? oppression. For thou shalt not what? Fear. And from what else? Terror. For it shall not what? Come nigh you. Now this, who promised that? God promised. That is your promised land. Now, don't mistaken your condition for your portion. Say amen to this. If you want to know what God said about your portion, go down to Deuteronomy 28 and start at verse 1 and read through verse 14. That is your portion, and you can see how it is. It's packaged up in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. But I'm saying that this is your portion. Now, the thing about this, it cannot be accessed by you just reading it. God gives you your portion in seed form. Stay here with me. So, in this, you've got to take this and take it at face value. Don't try to take this and say, wait a minute now, this can't be for me because this, none of this can happen in my life. It might be the farthest thing from being manifested in your life, but if you just believe the gospel, if you'll just take it at face value, because when you do take it at face value, whatever it says about you, it will manifest for you. Your job is to take it from information to revelation. And the way you do that is sow it in the soil of your heart. Now, once you sow it in the soil of your heart, then things start happening inside of you. Lord have mercy. Are you with me here? All right, let's just go through this. So first, I have to say, okay, I'm going to believe the word. If I read it in there, I'm going to believe it. Now, this is where all this starts. I'm going to believe it. Now, when he told Abraham this, Abraham had to take it at face value. Can I use that term? Take it at face. By his stripes, you are what? Healed. So I got to take that at face value. Somebody said, well, that's not in my life. That's what I told you. The condition of these things may not be manifested in your life right now, but I'm trying to tell you how to manifest it. Are you with me here? So now I've got to take it at face value. Now, what am I going to do? I'm going to say what God said. Now, the bottom line to this is I'm trying to get you to build your faith in the blessing. Say amen to this, because that blessing is on you, but it's got to be released by faith for it to do all it's going to do. It'll bring you into supernatural prosperity, supernatural favor, supernatural longevity, supernatural healing, supernatural deliverance, supernatural promotion, supernatural everything. It will bring, this blessing will do it for you, but you got to have faith in the blessing. And just because I read it sometime, some people said, well, it's not working for me. It's not working for you only because you don't believe it yet. See, now let me say something. Glory to God. Y'all stay with me now, because I want to stay with my notes here, because I really want you to get this. When you believe something, glory to God, and you receive this seed, it goes from this page into your heart. Now, once it goes into your heart, glory to God, then your heart begins to digest it and produce faith from it. Boy, can I get away with that? All right, now this is not tough. See, that's why you can go from rags to riches. Because the word is going to produce what it said. And one of the things that happens One of the things that happens is that people tend to try to believe with their mind. Your mind was made to do two things: make decisions and agree with your spirit. You believe with your heart. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 10. So when something is posed to you, or you spy out the land and find something and you want it in your life, then you take that and begin to speak it into your spirit. Your spirit goes to work. Now, this is exactly how you do when you take food and put it in your mouth. Your saliva automatically kicks in. Your enzymes automatically begin to secrete. Many people don't have to put it in their mouth. All they got to do is smell it, and all some got to do is hear about it. And all of a sudden, enzymes start secreting. What they're going to do? They're going to digest it, because they got to make strength out of it. And the same thing about you, and you will take this word and swallow it. And that is exactly what they did when the spies returned and the leaders begin to give two different reports. And the report that they believed and swallowed is the report that manifested in their life. Because inside of you is only going to produce what you swallow. Here's something to swallow. I'm not going to teach on it today. If God says the same, I'm going to teach on it next week. Every Christian could and should be a millionaire. Swallow that. Now, here's the deal. Why? Because you got to understand, first of all, that God has designed you to be a blessing. He has not designed you to just float through this earth. You're going to be the one of the people that is going to make it so that when people are shooting each other and young kids on the south side, that you can go and put a recreation center out there. You can put a job skills training center out there. See, somehow you forgot who you are. And I'm telling you that God is counting on you to be the game changer. And you got to understand that, wait a second, as he blessed Abraham and he had all these employees and he had all this, made the difference in the earth, he can bless me the same way. But only thing I got to do, I got to believe this. And what I've been trying to do is believe it with my head. My head ain't designed to believe this. This is too big for my head. My head won't function that way. I got to get it in my heart. And once I get it in my heart, I got to go to Proverbs 4:20, and my son, attend to my word. Don't be be looking at nothing else. Just look at the word of God. And he said, attend to my word and incline thine ears to my saying, and let them not depart from my eyes. Keep them in the midst of my heart, for they are life to those that find them. They are health to all their flesh. Say amen to this. Folks, he never meant for you to believe for small stuff. Come on over to Luke chapter 16 and look at that. Put it up on the board. Luke chapter 16. And look what he says here. God. He said in verse 19, and there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumb that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Do you see that? That means that he was carried into that upper region of Sheol. That's a place, a holding place, that all of those who believe were carried until Jesus died and rose from the dead and walked through there and preached the gospel to them and led captivity captive. Brother, took them on back up to heaven. But look how it describes him. It says, first of all, he was laid daily. That means he was immobile. The next thing they said is he was desiring crumbs. Desiring crumbs. God will give you the desire of your heart. He was desiring leftovers, leftover cars, leftover buildings, leftover houses, leftover this, leftover clothes, leftover. Come on. And I'm telling you, it said that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs even came and licked his sores. What does it mean by that? See, dogs have saliva that when they hurt themselves, they lick it. And the saliva has healing properties. And I'm saying when people sometimes get hurt and they hurt because of what somebody said to them, notice they attract dogs. They attract other people that have been hurt. Come on. And they think they're going to get out of it, but they just get hurt again. And I'm telling you, the time is over for the church attracting dogs. I'm telling you, when God says you are healed, you are healed. When God says there's no condemnation, there is no condemnation. And I'm saying to you today, in the name of Jesus, that God, what he has proposed in his word, is that you are going to be rich, you're going to be famous, you're going to be distinguished, you're going to be a blessing. And what God said, I decree, it's going to manifest in your life starting today. I'm telling you, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. No more crumbs. Say no more crumbs. None for nobody. Nobody. You're going to live large from now on. This is what we got to do, folks, and we can't take no for an answer. We can't let the enemy try to talk us out of our stuff. Now, I'm not getting at this time, but I'm going to cover this other topic. Can you stand to be blessed? Because when you get blessed, they're going to talk about you. When you get blessed, they're going to try to ridicule you. When you get blessed, see, people don't have any problem with wealth. What they got a problem with is God doing it. When they win the lottery, they put them on TV. But when they win with Jesus, they try to cut them out. You Jesus. So what am I saying? Glory to God. So now, let's just deal with Job for just a minute. Now, we're not going to make a mistake of mistaken our condition for our portion. We're not going to make that mistake. Your condition is in your situation, for the most part, has been created by the devil. If you're not living this right here. Now, I'm not talking about you being all in the devil. I'm just saying that he's been trying to rob you of something. But we're going to make sure you get the full portion of your package. I said the full portion of your package. What the scriptures say is what the scriptures going to produce in your life. And look at Job 121 real quick. He said this. He said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now notice what he said. The Lord gave, and the Lord what? The Lord didn't take that away. You got what I'm saying? Now wait a minute. Let's fix this. Let's go over here to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And look what he says here. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, please. Praise God. Just follow the list, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. What else? Reproof. What else? For correction. What else? For instruction in righteousness. Hold it. Let's go back and do that same New Living Translation, and just see what it says. He says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Next verse, please. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Say amen to that. So notice, his statement was truly stated, because that's what God put down there. That when you read it, it's truly stated, but it's not meant to be a statement of truth. It's meant for you to read it and learn by it. Don't make the same mistake as Job and let fear come in and wipe out everything you've got. So what we need to know is I've been redeemed from fear. Say amen to that. And so now, as this thief comes in John 10:10, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, I got to understand that, wait a minute, my condition was created by the devil, and God has now prepared a way for me to get delivered out of this condition. He has packaged up the scripture, and now I got to take it and put it in my mouth, in my ears, in my eyes, and in my heart. And this scripture is going to be processing on the inside of me, and it's going to produce faith that's going to take back whatever the devil has stolen in my life. No longer do I have to compromise on what God has promised me, but now I can violently take what God has promised me, and I'm going to win in every situation. Now, I'm telling you right now, no longer will the devil steal from you. God has planned for you to activate your spirit, set in motion the word of God, and the word will transfer the biggest things in the earth back into your hand. Folks, it's time for us to decide to believe God's word and not believe what our symptoms say or what somebody said. Somebody said it's time to receive our inheritance and go to the top. Give God praise. That's all we got. Woo. Woo. Glory to God. Now you hear what I just said. You are a millionaire. Glory to God. You are healed. Now stop trying to take it down and stop trying to explain it with your mind. Your mind was never meant to believe what God said. He said, with the heart man believes. The word of God was meant for your spirit. And your spirit will produce the faith to transfer it into your hand. If you need to be born again, I want to pray for you right now, because you got to get born again to get this. Now, whoever you are, don't be ashamed of it. Get up out of your chair. Come up here to the altar. I want to pray for you right now. Don't you be ashamed about it. This is the time that you're going to switch camps, and God's going to put you in a place where you've never been before. Anybody right now? Come on, hang on.